Episode 7, Origins Part 2.
Join us at the table where we talk board games to miniatures and everything in between. The Games We Play with Brian and Chris.
And welcome back to Episode 7, The Games We Play. I am Brian.
And I'm Chris.
And welcome back. It is Origins. Yeah, part two.
Part deuce.
It is currently 11 o'clock late on day three. We just actually got back from the Secret Cabal meetup, minus the Secret Cabal guys, but we'll talk about that a little later. But had a lot of fun, met some new people.
Great time.
Had a few beverages. And got to talk about games and video games, and it was great. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, very much. Met some great new people, made some friends, talked board games, walked around, experienced in Columbus and some neat places.
And it's
nice.
Yeah, and it was beautiful out tonight. It was like 70.
Total nice different little, opposite from last night.
It was not rainy.
No rain. Yeah. We didn't have to walk into the rain or whatever.
Oh, man.
Tonight.
So I think day three was where everything caught up to us.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man, the last couple nights of late nights and getting up early. Remember our advice about, going to bed on time and just throw out the window?
Yeah, yeah. We give the advice, but we don't follow our own advice.
Just like being a parent. Hey, do what we say, not as
do
we
do.
Do
what dad says, but not what dad does.
So it caught up a little bit. I was really dragging all day, but it was a lot of fun today. Got a lot of games in, personally.
Yeah.
So let's just start, go through the games that we played.
Let's do it.
Because that is the name of the podcast, The Games We Play. So the games I played today was first in the morning, some rando came up to me to see if we want to play a game. And he was talking in a Russian accent. Turns out he was just having fun. Because the game is called Cogs and Commissars?
Commissars?
Yep. Yeah. So it's a Soviet-Russia, well, I guess not Russia, Soviet Union.
Yeah. USSR,
themed game where we play robots, which are all puns for Soviet leaders throughout history, and we're trying to recruit the people to take over Russia. You have your own deck, and each deck's a little different for the most part, but it's basically a take that game. Pretty much every card's a take that game.
Yeah.
It was okay.
It was a four player, right?
Yeah. I think it played up five or six players, right, but we played four.
You guys were playing four. I didn't play. I actually had to work. So
it was one of those games where you give me money. No, I can counter it. No, I can counter your counter, that kind of game.
Yeah.
And out of the deck of like 30 cards, there's one card called Revolution, and you had to have so many resources to play it. And that's how you win the game. One card in the whole deck.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. And there's other cards that make you discard. So I was sitting there with the required coming up, and somebody, I think I was sitting there with 15 or 17 resources. I could have played Revolution on my hand on my turn. I had it in hand. And by the time it got round to me, I had zero cards in my hand, and I was down to like 9 points. It was just like, come on. It was okay. Yeah. And it was expensive. He had the deluxe version, but it had like mouse pads.
Nice. Yeah,
the artwork was cool. The funny puns. It was kind of goofy and kind of fun. It was like robots that were dressed up as like Stalin and stuff. And it had like punny names. But I kind of liked the feel of it and the theme of it. But it just didn't play. It fell flat for me. But the deluxe version was like $53. It was kind of expensive.
Had nice components.
Yeah, the components are really good for the deluxe version, but for such a small card game at $53, kind of crazy. But so I played that. That opened and set the mood for the day, but it kind of turned around a little bit because later, and you'll talk about what you did in the morning, we end up playing Onitama.
Yeah,
introduced
that
to you. Oh, yeah, it's
first
a great
time
game
for me.
It's kind of a chess-like game where you have a small grid and you have four pawns and like your king. It's a samurai-type themed, oriental-themed
game. Oriental.
And there's, out of the 16 cards that comes in the base, there's four cards plus a fifth that comes out. And each card is, it shows your character and the different moves you can move. So sometimes it might just be up, down, and right, or diagonal, or only back and to the side. Just all random different ones. And that's the only moves you have for your pawns. And the idea is either capture the other person's
master,
or move your master across the board to their dojo and take it over. And very strategic. You have to look ahead and see what they have and try to plan out, because when you play a card, it shifts to the left. Your opponent will take it after their turn, which is really cool. So you're constantly rotating these cards through, and it's just very strategic. You have to think 2, 3, 4 turns ahead. I thought I had you because you're down to just your master.
Just my
and
master.
And I had my master and pawn, and somehow you still beat me. It was kind of embarrassing, actually. I should have been able to beat you, but I couldn't.
That's good gamesmanship, yeah.
But no, it was really good.
Oh, it was really good. I ended up ordering it on Amazon, and actually, when we get home from Origins, it should be waiting for me.
Heck, out of the box, though, the components on that, you get a
they were nice.
You get like a neoprene mat with printed
that was really nice.
And the
think
figures.
Of like a chessboard with the hexes. So
beautiful
the,
art.
It really is. It's really nice.
Great
nice
game. Two-player game. Yeah. It's
a great two-player game.
Should be able to play it in 20 minutes unless we play us and we're playing cat and mouse for 40 minutes. But it's a great game. You can actually get it on your iPhone or Android free to play the base game. You can kind of learn how to play it, and then you can upgrade and buy the DLC, which is all the cards that allows you to shuffle them in. Because the free version, it's always the same five.
Sure.
But it still gives you
makes
the flavor
sense.
Of the game. It's great.
Yeah.
And it's fun to play, you know, when you're sitting at the doctor's office or, you know, you have 10, 15 minutes. It's a quick game.
The box that it comes in is really nice, actually. It's just a rectangle box, has a flip-type lid, and has a...
And it's magnetic.
Yeah, and magnetic, which, yeah, exactly. And it's got a insert that the mats, the cards, and the characters fit into little slots. So it travels well. That would be really
nice.
Yeah,
small footprint. And,
yep.
It's by Arcane Wonders, I believe.
Yeah, yep.
And I think it's designed, it has a name on it, Senpai Sato. So I think it's an actual by a martial artist, because that's the theme. It's supposed to be like this cat and mouse, and you're supposed to be very strategic. Anyway, it's
really
good.
Oh, it's
very
strategic. Very strategic. Think chess, but I actually like a lot better.
Yeah, chess is great, but I'm really bad at it. I have a hard time kind of playing out everything. Right. This is kind of simpler, but still gives you the same idea as chess, maybe just not as complex or things.
The nice thing I like about it, like you said, it has the move cards. Well, you use five at a time. Each person will have two, and there's one that's going to rotate as you move. Each person takes a turn. But there's 19 to start with, and there's expansions and stuff. So it's the variability and replayability and variability of how you play it. It changes all the time.
Oh, it does,
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So,
it's great.
Yeah. Yep.
Highly
recommend that.
And then after that, you had another event. So I met up with somebody, and I talked about it yesterday about Terraforming Mars. Met up with him, and he had a friend from the local area and his two kids. And we played a five-player game of Terraforming Mars. I've only played a two-player game of Terraforming Mars, which is obviously going to be a little different. But played a five-player, but we played with all the expansions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we played with the Colonists, Prelude, Venus, and then... It was one of the variable maps. I think Elysium is the side we played. It was a lot of fun. Really liked it. Now, it took 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's normal.
Had a little analysis paralysis going on.
It wasn't too bad. I mean, it really wasn't bad. There was a couple times people are on phones, whatever. Yeah. It's not that big of a deal. I don't know if that's normal or not, but... It was a lot of fun. A lot of different options, more so than the base game.
Right.
And I really enjoyed it. The Venus cards and all the new cards they added into it. Oh, man, that engine building on that. Oh, just, it got me going. It wanted me to go play more Terraforming Mars when I get home because I have it on my shelf.
Yep.
So played that, had a lot of fun. But that was kind of a brain burner a little bit, 3 hours sitting there playing that game. And then later after we had dinner, I think we went back and played Pyramid Poker, that out. I'm a big fan of that. I know we talked about that previously, so I'm not going to go into that. And it didn't sound like you enjoyed it as much as I did, but even though I beat you. But maybe that had something to do with it.
Nah, it's not. I'm not. No, heck no, I'm not a sore loser. Now, it was my first attempt at it.
Well, I don't know. You threw it across the... No, I'm just joking.
Flip the table on Pyramid Poker.
But I'm not a sore... No, I'm joking. Yeah. He didn't do that, but...
No.
But
no, I enjoyed it. It's not a game that I would want to pull off every time, and you say Pyramid Poker, but like, excited. Just didn't trip my trigger on that aspect.
Yeah, I kind of like the planning and thinking ahead and trying to think moves out and forcing you to take ones I want. I don't know if you noticed that. There was a lot of times I needed something, but I was going to force you to take it. Yeah. I was never going to uncover it because I needed it.
Right.
Just that kind of stuff, but really liked that. And then I pulled out a... Abstract, your favorite. I had seen it before and I hadn't heard good things about it. It's called Number 9.
Yeah. Brian had some sarcasm there, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah, he loves the Abstract. It's his favorite. No, but essentially it's a really simple game where you have numbers 0 through 9 and their cardboard shapes actually make the number of the number. That was,
yeah.
That makes the number of the number.
That's right. Yeah,
got
exactly.
it.
I understood what
so
you're talking
So the zero is a rectangle, a cardboard rectangle, and there's like a square grids on them.
Yeah.
But essentially, there's a deck of cards that has two of each number, 0 through 9.
20 cards.
Yep. And you shuffle them up, and then you flip it over, and each person, you can play up to 4, takes that number, comes out. So if you take a 6, you grab the 6, and then you put it down. Well, you're building these levels up.
Each person is.
Yeah, each person will have their own little platform they're building on. And essentially, you every level you go up, you at the end of the game, you deconstruct, and you take the number that's placed there. So if you placed a 9 on level 3, you multiply it together, and you get 27 points for that level, that 9. Right?
Yep.
And you just add up all the numbers. The first layer is 0, so none of those give you points. Layer 1 is 1 times whatever the number, and so on and so forth. And you just build it up, and it's a little puzzly. You're trying to optimize. You obviously, the higher level you go, the more points you get, but you want to save it for your 9s and maybe your 8s and 7s, and you're trying to build this base up. I really liked it. It's kind of puzzly. I like those puzzly abstract games. It might be a game I try to pick up. I've seen it on clearance. I think my wife would really like it. An easy, quick game to play. I know you did not like it.
No, even though I crushed you both times.
Okay, well,
we'll get back. Hey, we're talking about my review and like of it or dislike.
But you're going. We cheat. Well, okay, so we played it 2 times, and Chris came up with the strategy where I'm gonna because there's a rule that when you play a new level,
several rules on how
there's three placement rules, and we screwed it up.
Yeah,
three most, rules and we screwed up. But essentially what we had understood
is you
play you can place two of the shapes next to each other. They have to touch to form a level.
Yep.
They put another level that place another shape on others. It has to overlap two shapes, which is fine. And then they have to be placed in the grid. That's what we thought the rules were.
Yep.
Well, we omitted one huge rule.
Kind of crucial.
It's not a huge rule, but very crucial. Because without this rule, Chris basically went 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, build a layer of like 8 or 9
or something. 9 levels, the last one.
And
I crushed you.
He scored like 500 points. And I only scored 192. I'm like, this can't be right. Because essentially, no matter every time you play, each player could just do the 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2 method. And we'd always come up basically the same score. I'm like, we just broke the game. How is this possible?
Yep.
Reading the rules. After we played 2 games.
Yeah.
And you can see the picture. You'll see the picture on our Instagram of us playing it wrong.
Exactly.
The final result. Well, it turns out when you place a level, it can't have any part of the number overhang over another piece on the level before.
Yeah.
Crucial, crucial detail. Now, pretty much all mine, I always got a huge base and built it up correctly. So technically mine played right. And so, you know, I got 192 on my second turn.
I still scored 360 by the points.
Okay. Either way, I really liked it. It's going to be a fun one that I'll probably pick up. I've seen it on clearance for like 10, 15 bucks before at like GameStop or Barnes & Noble or whatever. You can go back to our budgeting one for some tips on how to pick those up. Either way, I like it. I'm going to pick it up probably, and you will not.
That's one I will probably not.
You could probably use game boxes and stack them to play that game or something.
Exactly.
Okay. But anyway, that's...
We'll just move on to a better game.
How dare you? It's like a 10-minute game.
I've got other
it's a
better
10-minute
games.
It's a good filler. Well, sure. There are. I won't. Like, No Thanks is a class. Anyway,
oh, most definitely.
We can talk about that later. Anyway, that's all I played. So what did you play today, Chris?
So you were playing that. And when I got done, we met up and went over to the Plaid Hat Games. A little meet together. They had some donuts and coffee and a little meet up right before the exhibitor hall opened and stuff. So once that opened, we had that, went around and played those first couple games. Then when you were playing Terraforming Mars, I went over to meet Isaac and Jonathan and to meet up. And we had about an hour before we were going to play a game. So we walked to the exhibit hall doing some demos. One of the first ones we went to is the Bezier Games and played Silver.
It's
a new game, and that's a pretty cool game. It's card game, mixture of how would I say? There's a memory aspect to it. You play cards a lot of you have 5 cards in front of you. It's a trick taking type game where you want the least number of points at the end of a round, and you play 4 rounds and total up the points each round and at the end of 4 rounds, the lowest points a person wins. There's different different special abilities on these cards and characters. The Bezier universe is werewolves. So this is actually where you're playing other characters associated within the werewolf theme and stuff. Hmm. And the art on it, think of How to Train a Dragon type art.
Oh,
and
okay.
That's the art that's on the card. So it's very, it's that type of cartoonishness. Very similar. I mean, like 99% similar art type style. But it was a fun game. There's like some memory aspects where you draw cards and you place them face down and you replace you. When you have five cards out in front of you to start off, you only get to look at two of them to start off with to see what they are. And then each round you draw a card and you have a couple options. If you want to keep it, you can replace a card in front of you. And then you put the card in the discard pile. You can have an option of taking the card in the discard pile that's face up. And if you do that, then you replace a card in front of you, but you replace this card face up. And anytime you do that, you can enact the power of the person on the card. So there's some little...
So you kind of have to remember yeah. who is where and what power.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And there's some different options and the special abilities and things. And the cards are numbered from 0 to 13. There's 2 zeros and 2 13s, and there's 4 of every other card in between. And again, like I said, at the end of each round, you want the least number of cards. So there's some give and takes, and there's some pushes and pulls. There's some allowing that mixes your cards where I can take a card from you, and or you can take this, and you can swap things out, or you can get rid of, if you have doubles or triples of a card, you can slide it in and take a different card.
Interesting.
So it really is.
Okay.
And they're coming out with another edition. They have another edition called Silver Bullet,
okay,
which is very similar type game, different characters, but they and there's a special ability with a Silver Bullet versus the Amulet from Silver that does some game card things. But the characters from each game are supposed to be compatible, so you can swap and mix and match.
Interesting.
If you buy both games, you can make it like a third type game out of them.
Huh.
But yeah, it was pretty fun. It was they're demoing it, bringing it out. And they're bringing it out at Origins and stuff like that. So
okay,
I want to say they were charging $20 for the game.
Oh, okay, so a little lighter game.
Yeah, it's a smaller, lighter card game.
Cool.
So and if they got a deal if you buy both there. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure I haven't checked to see if it's out yet at other publishers or distributors or sellers, retailers or net yet. But it was a fun one. Then as we were walking down, we walked by the Slugfest Games booth. Isaac played Red Dragon Inn yesterday, and he was talking up about it. So John, Isaac, and I stopped down and did a demo of Red Dragon Inn with just the base game. And that was a lot of fun. That's a bar fight type scene. A jovial, lighthearted fantasy.
In like fantasy? Yeah.
It's a fantasy setting where you're in a bar and you're a wizard. Let's see, there's a thief, there's a wizard, there's a fighter, there's, I forget the other person. But you play cards. It's a card-driven game. There's some gambling involved into it. And then there's some drunkenness and some fighting and things like that.
I mean, what else would you expect?
Oh, exactly. And you're in a tavern and you just got back from adventuring.
Yeah.
You need to let out
some steam. Yeah.
Exactly. It's all about letting out some steam. But that was a really fun game. So the boys really enjoyed it. So I'm going to look at picking up the boxes.
Cool.
And there's like many different expansions.
Oh,
and
I'm
stuff
sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So the expansions add different characters, and several of the big box expansions can be standalone games, and then there's some smaller one-off where you can get some add extra. So yeah, anyway, the boys enjoyed that. Then one of the things that we went on then before that, or after we played, we went over to the hall and we had tickets to play Dungeons & Dragons Castle Ravenloft board game. And first time the three of us played it, so it was a very cool board game. Dungeon crawl type, where there was five characters. You played a rogue, there was a wizard, there was a dwarf cleric, dragonborn fighter, and then there was a human ranger. And so there was five of us playing. I was playing the dwarf cleric, of course. I was rocking it. And
Of course. I mean, it's a dwarf cleric,
it's
right?
A dwarf. You just had me a dwarf. So I play dwarves.
Is that a pickup line? You had me a dwarf.
Yeah, something like that. We'll see if that works. It's dungeon crawl. We start off our mission. There's missions. There's the base game, or the game has 13 type missions, and it progresses down. We played the first one, and you go through the levels. You have to unlock some tiles. So you start off with about, there's board tiles. And then as you move along, you unlock more tiles. And, of course, monsters and baddies and things show up.
Of course.
So you have to fight them. And it was really cool. We did. We had a fun time.
It looks like it's a dungeon crawl, like modular from the pictures here I'm looking at.
Yep. Very much that way. You got figures, plastic figures representing the heroes. And there's monsters. And there's one person that that kind of game masters and
oh, is there like a dungeon master kind of thing? Kind of like HeroQuest or something like that?
Yeah, very much like Descent and HeroQuest, things like that.
Cool.
So yeah, that was the six of us played. The guy who was running, very gracious, great job. He did a great job. And so yeah, we played and we had fun and we ended up winning the scenario and we had a little extra time, so not a lot to finish the next scenario. So he just threw out the big bad boss and we kind of fought
fun.
So it was fun. So we ended up that way. But yeah, it was Dungeons and Dragons Castle Ravenloft board game. And that was a lot of fun. If you like dungeon crawls and you like the fantasy theme and Dungeons and Dragons, this is an enjoyable game.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool from the pictures.
For a few years, and it's accessible at retailers, and you can get that. It's a fun game.
Cool.
Highly enjoyed it.
Is that from Wizards of the Coast, it looks like?
Yes, Wizards of the Coast, who makes Dungeons & Dragons. That is,
neat. Awesome. Yep. One other game that we kind of looked at while we were in the exhibit hall, The Table is Lava. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Okay. With the card throwing.
Yeah. Yes. It's kind of a silly game by R&R Games, the same people that did Pyramid Poker.
Yep.
Essentially, you have a bunch of meeples that are on lava, and you get these cards, and you have to slide the cards under the meeples. You know, so it slides across the card, hits your meeple, and like slides under your meeple. And you're trying to get them on the sky part of the card instead of the lava part of the card. And I don't know, it's just silly.
A little silly dexterity type game.
It was only like 10, 15 bucks or something.
Those are cheap ones. Those are for good laughs. You just have some friends.
Yeah, it's kind of silly. Yeah,
exactly. If you want a lighthearted, silly beer and pretzel type games where you can just throw and just a little dexterity and have some fun with it. Looks like a good game for that.
Yeah, it did. Any other games you demoed or checked out at the exhibit hall?
No, there were some others I wanted to check, but we were messing around with time and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to tomorrow, I think.
Yep. Yeah, they're on my list still to finish up on Saturday and Sunday. So
awesome.
Yep.
Okay. So I know I bought some games today.
Yeah.
I think I bought the last of the games for the convention. I didn't go too crazy this year, which is good. I guess we still have Gen Con. And but I ended up pulling the trigger on Dinosaur Island.
Yeah, I was excited on that.
I'm super excited. Amazon had it cheaper, like $20 cheaper than what they were selling there. So I'm like, okay. Dinosaur Island has been hard to kind of find. It's been out of stock a lot. It's a pretty popular game. For those who don't know, you essentially are running your own Jurassic Park, but it's not called Jurassic Park, of course, because it's...
Of course, trademark.
Yeah, exactly. You're forming your own dinosaur island. Anywho, so you're creating your own dinosaur island, and you're like building your dinosaurs and your park, and you're trying to get attractions. And, you know, this is all coming off of reviews and what I've read, because I haven't actually played the game. But it looks really cool.
Not yet.
Yeah, and I went ahead and did the all-in. Well, that's what I'm getting to, is Amazon had it cheaper than there, but at the convention they had the all-in, where if you bought... the base game, the expansion, and
everything.
And then there's another one called Dualosaur. It's basically
two-player version.
Dinosaur Island. Yeah, two-player. They probably got it from Seven Wonders Duel. I got that just because it'd be kind of fun to play with my wife. It almost had better reviews, actually.
Or me. I'm raising my hand.
I mean, Chris. I bought it to play with Chris.
Yes.
Maybe we should bring it to the convention and play it tomorrow.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Anyway, getting off track, making plans for tomorrow. Anyway, I went ahead and bought it at the convention center because all three was cheaper than if I bought all three at Miniature Market or Cool Stuff or Amazon or whatever. So I just went ahead and pulled the trigger and did it. So I'm really excited to play that game.
Yeah, that looks fun. I've heard good things about it. I'm interested in playing it.
And definitely going to try to have the dinosaurs eat my customers. Just why not?
Because that happens sometimes.
Yeah, you know, things happen.
Yeah. Yeah, things happen.
But anyway, pretty excited about that. I also looked at Root and almost pulled the trigger, but
that's a game on my list too.
So expensive. It's probably just as expensive. No, it's not pretty much. It's more expensive than Dinosaur Island, all of the expansions. I might just go ahead and late pledge on Kickstarter, but we'll see. Or maybe I'll just wait until it comes out. Either way, I'm pretty excited about that. Anything you're excited about that from today or, you know, that you bought or whatnot?
Oh, I did not buy as many games today as I did yesterday. Just went around looking around. Wanted to demo a lot more today. That Root was another one I was looking at. Oh, my gosh. I like that. That looks fun.
Yeah, it looks a lot of fun. I mean, the variable faction and it just plays differently for each faction. It seems really cool. I've heard really good things about it. I really like the artwork. I know some people it doesn't do it for them, but I kind of like it.
Yeah. No, Isaac played more of the Lord of the Rings game, and he really loved
that. Oh, yeah.
He's really into it. So I did not get to demo it. When we went, the couple times we went by, they were busy. So that's something I'm going to look to. And
yeah, it looks really cool.
That. It does look cool.
It might be one of those that we can pick up on sale a little later, maybe.
Probably.
Because it's a little on the expensive side. I think it was $85 or something dollars.
But you ask about one I'm really excited about. One of the things we saw today is towards the end, before we went over to the Secret Ball meetup, was Altar Quests.
We
just got done with Castle Ravenloft game, so we walked around real quick and saw this, and we looked at it, and it was like, oh, they had a painted copy version. Sadler Brothers are the ones who make it, and the painted copy version, and it looks just like the Hero Quest we talked about a couple episodes ago, Your Love, and that was, yeah, so that made me want to check out that a little bit more. So I'm going to check out. I didn't get a stop and demo it or look into it too much. We caught it out of the order, right, so we went over there and looked at it, and then we're on the way to meet you to head over there. To the gathering, but Altar Quest. So if you haven't checked that out and you're a Hero Quest type fan, those dungeon crawls, go check that out. I'm going to be doing some research tomorrow.
Well, maybe I haven't finished buying stuff. Oh my gosh.
I want to say it's still on Kickstarter. It's a few days left on Kickstarter.
I mean,
so by the time
I haven't
this post, it'll back probably be
something
done.
In a while.
Yeah, you haven't. Jump on that.
I might have to. I love Hero Quest. Yeah. It is so much fun.
Yeah.
Okay, well, cool. Yeah, I mean, okay, well, let's transition, because that kind of transitioned some things we did today.
Yep.
We did go to the Secret Cabal meetup, and it was at a brewery and...
Gordon Brusch Brewery.
Thank you.
It's German.
Yeah, and all their beers on tap were made in-house.
Yeah, everything's in-house.
They were really good. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it was the Secret Cabal meetup, and didn't meet any... Secret Cabal people. We saw them around, but it was kind of busy. I mean, it was really busy. Yeah. There's a lot of people. I felt kind of bad. But we actually met a few people, and that was partly why we didn't get around to say hi to people, because we were talking to a few people and got carried away, and next thing you know, it's 2 hours later. It was Rob, the gentleman we met from Pennsylvania, his wife, who was telling us about...
Altar Quest?
Altar Quest. Yeah, he was telling us about Altar Quest, talking to about us. And that's kind of piqued our interest, at least piqued my interest, but you had already seen it.
Yeah, I just caught it today. I've heard about it and saw it on the, just didn't look into it much on the Kickstarter aspect, but saw that today and it drew me in. So that's one of the things I'm excited about tomorrow, is going to go check that out a little bit more. But yeah, very nice people. Oh my gosh.
And then we met the two brothers that were next to us at the bar. I know the guy that was my age was TJ, and then his older brother, and you know, for the life of me, I cannot remember his name.
Sorry,
I feel really bad because I know he was going to check out our podcast. But really nice guys, had a good time chatting, talking about games, and talking to Rob and his wife, and talking about games. And and I know you had a lot in common with them because their profession and in the medical field. And just had a great time talking and meeting with people.
Gosh, yes. And that's one of the things. And first off, we want to apologize. So if you ever want to email us, and we'll get
set
more
the record straight.
Yes, and we'll get more shout outs to you guys. So no, we had a great time. That was fabulous. So Rob and his wife, we were standing right next to them the other night.
At the Blue Pig Pink Peg.
So they were the first two people in line. We were just a few behind them, and very nice people.
Just
shooting the breeze with them. And that's the thing I love about these conventions, and especially
smaller
one. Origins versus like a Gen Con, which we've had the main experience with Gen Con. Origin's so much more personable, and we've seen people interacted with a lot of other people and just met some really cool, neat people. And that's and play games with them. That's the fun stuff. That's what I love.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Chances are we're going to run into them tomorrow just walking through the hall or something. Yeah. It's going
to
be great.
Yeah. So looking forward to that.
Yeah. So that was really fun tonight. Kind of a funny story that happened while we're at the restaurant eating is there's this, I don't know if this is even a funny story. I just thought it was kind of funny.
Sure.
But there's this couple sitting there, and they had just ordered appetizers. And so the appetizers come, and then all of a sudden, they hadn't even started eating. Like, they hadn't even touched it. All of a sudden, she just, like, storms off, and her boyfriend, I don't know, like, was trailing her, and she got... She goes out the wrong door into the patio, which is blocked off. Like, you can't get out.
It's gated.
It's a gated little patio. Yeah. It's just she goes out and goes around the front of the restaurant, tries to, like, yank on the door to get back in, which is locked. And it's, like, super awkward. He gets up. You can tell she's really not happy. So then a server goes over, opens. She, like, stomps back around, does, like, it's basically a huge circle at this point to go back to the main exit, and then he's just, like, trailing after, and they just left. Yeah. They didn't even pay for the appetizer. It was so weird.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny, though.
I just caught the end after the commotion after they left, and you were sitting at the angle witnessing it.
It was just funny that she went out the wrong door to go through the patio, and then it was locked. It was super awkward. It was funny. Anyway, that was my funny story for today. Today's love and hate. Let's go ahead and start love, because we're going to have some fun with this, I think.
Yes.
Go ahead with your love.
You want to start with my love?
No, I'll go first because yours is better. Okay. Well, kind of funny. You'll see. So my love is Terraforming Mars. Yeah. Had a lot of fun with
good
it.
Game.
Enjoy it. I really like the engine building. Even though I didn't win, I had this really cool engine going where I was investing heavily in the Venus, and what it does is add these floaters, you know, thematically in Venus because it's a gas giant. It has, like, floating, like, cities are producing. And so these floaters you can put on your cards. And then I was, I just kept producing and producing and producing. And I had like five or six cards that I was producing them. And you put the resources. And I had a card that for every two of them I put on there, I'd get a victory point. By the end of the game, I had something like 30 something on there. It was awesome. It was just had a really cool engine going. Even though I lost, it was just a lot of fun. So that was Terraforming Mars with all the expansions. A lot of fun. Even though it was a little long, it's fun to do. I mean, that's what a convention is for, right?
Sure. You're taking an opportunity to play a long game like that.
Yeah, so Terraforming Mars, my love. What is your love, Chris?
My love is coupon books. Oh, my gosh. I got here, and they handed out coupon books.
Oh, my word.
And so I'm a...
Guys, you have no idea.
Hey, so I've got five kids. I got to pay for them and stuff. But I'm a frugal type personality. I'm fiscal, conservative type mentality.
Yeah.
Got that from my mom. Love you, Mom. Shout out to my mom. So... I love coupon books. I get excited there. So I'm flipping through this and I see a ticket for a free DICE Origins 2019 die. Oh my gosh, I got to get that. So I'm like, Isaac, John, get your coupons. Page 29, grab them. Let's go. Crystal Castle. We're going there. So I'm grabbing that. Oh, hey, what's this? Bardley's getting a free Origins
pint with a
purchase of a sandwich or beverage or something. We're going to Bardley's. Oh. We're going there now. So, oh my gosh, I love the coupon books. I love getting that. I love getting
it's like
the
crack
swag. For
Chris.
It is.
Okay.
So.
It wasn't as bad this year. Now, we still have 2 days left.
Yeah, we still have 2 days
left. But at Gen Con, every time I met Chris up at Gen Con, and it wasn't very often because our events didn't overlap, but every time I met, he's like, here, take this coupon, go get this dice. I fetch no more less than like 10 dice for
Gen
Con.
I don't have that many.
Okay,
kids.
How many? Yeah, but you're like, I'm gonna give it to my mailman and my
my
neighbors.
I've got five kids, and only three
I'm
of them
kidding.
Came last year. So,
how many dice did you get at Gen Con last year, though?
Well, six, five kids and myself.
Oh, it just had to be more than that because I retrieved at least three
dice.
For you.
Oh, there's
my
different
word.
Different dice.
But the same thing. So. He's like pulling coupon books out of his you know what, and just
$2 from cool stuff ink here, $2 there. That adds up.
He's like, hey, can I use your coupon? I'm like, yeah, but what are you going to give me? He's like, here's a $2 off coupon. I'm like, sweet. And then later he's like, well, I got this other one. He has like 10 $2 off cool stuffing. I'm like, where'd you find them? Yeah, I just found them.
Well, they're laying around. Oh, people threw them away. I mean, they find them on the ground. And I'm like, what? It's gold.
It's an addiction. Those dice are addiction.
I love them. Like I told you, one of my vices. I love dice. Man.
No, it's all in jest, but it is funny. How many times today did you bring up, hey, I wonder if Barley's has more of those mugs that we should go get?
Probably like 5 times.
They sold out.
Yeah, no.
FYI, they sold out. I told them I bet them a lot of money that they sold out.
We walked by
there was lines around the block, both for lunch and dinner that first day.
We walked by Barley's. It's a restaurant bar, tavern type across the street. And we walked there on the way to the Secret Ball, and they had a sign on the front door. Sorry, we are out of the place.
Oh, boy.
But they're awesome. Even
those coupon books, man.
Hey,
I don't blame you. I mean, I understand. It's just funny.
Yeah. Awesome. That's my love.
Okay.
Love coupon books.
My hate is Chris's love for coupon books. No, I'm joking. Actually, what I wrote down for a hate is Chris's preference in games. The fact that you hate these abstract games just bugs the heck out of me.
Themeless. We're going right into my hate.
Who cares if it doesn't have it? Okay, these games have a lot of puzzle and a lot of fun, and like it's puzzly and it's thinky.
Sure.
Like it takes a lot of, I don't know, it's a good, like, it'd be like doing a Sudoku, you know, there's a lot of, you know, thinking through and trying to think
ahead. I don't do a lot of Sudokus.
I don't
do
it.
There's other better games that could do the same thing.
I'm not saying there's not better games, but there's some time and place for an abstract game. They're usually really light. It's fun to pull it out a 10, 15-minute abstract game and just have some fun with it.
Yeah, but I'd like a little theme with it that matches the game and the play and their presentation and all that.
I'd say if the mechanics work well,
sure,
and if it's fun,
right,
and if I enjoy it and has some engaging aspects, right, then who cares?
Subjective.
Who cares if it has a theme?
If you enjoy it, I enjoy theme and presentation.
Oh,
and
boy.
Yeah. So actually, that was my hate, is themeless.
I actually picked out number 9 on purpose.
Yeah. I wondered. So what did I went and got his water. So I filled up our water bottles, and I said, Brian, go grab a game, whatever you want. That was my mistake.
No,
right
that
there.
Was Pyramid Poker. We got done with Pyramid Poker, and you're like, I have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, what game do you want to play? He's like, I don't know. I'll just pick something. I'm like, that's what he gets for going to the bathroom.
That's right, and I smoked him twice at it.
Cheating. Okay. You cheated.
Oh, I didn't cheat. You're the one who read the rules.
I think I read it. I just didn't comprehend. I was hungry or something at that
point. Oh, we were hungry.
And I kid, kind of, but whatever. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
All right, Chris, what's your hate?
Well, I just said it. It was
That was really your hate?
Abstract games that really have themeless and not... Yeah, I wouldn't say hate. It's not that strong, but I like games. You know, Azul, it was an abstract game, but that had some theme to it. I grasped that and pulled that, but just like the number 9, it didn't really have it. And
no, there's absolutely no theme to that. I understand that.
Yeah, so that didn't pull me in. It didn't grasp me. And it's one of those games like, okay, you know, that's an abstract. Azul's an abstract. What? I'd rather play Azul than I would number 9. So
hey, so we're going to play Azul Stained Glass tomorrow.
Okay,
Let's play the second one. I saw some people playing yesterday, and it looked really cool. The pieces and stuff looked really good.
And the tableaus, and yeah. So yeah, I'm fine with that. That's got some theme in it. It looked good.
I'll find something to play abstract tomorrow just for you.
We'll put some theme into it. Western Legends, that's a great abstract game.
Oh, I saw so many people playing it yesterday.
Oh, that was awesome.
This one guy had them all painted. It looked really cool. But they had the same complaint, you know, about the characters not matching. I completely understand, but either way, it's still a minor complaint.
Yeah,
I don't know why we're talking about Western Legends.
You can fix that. So.
We're talking about good games. Maybe we should try playing Role Player tomorrow.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah, I want to get that. It looks so good.
Yep.
Anyway, so that wraps up love and hate. Okay, so let's go ahead and wrap up this day. We're getting late, and we still have to get up early in the morning and have another late night tomorrow night. Should be kind of fun.
Play an early morning session of Shadowrun 5th Edition.
So you're looking forward to that?
I am looking forward to that. Got some new dice and some token edge token sets the other day with when I picked up the 6th Edition starter kit. So looking forward to giving a try. Made the Shadowrunner the other night. With the Build-A-Runner Workshop, going to use my Dwarf Street Samurai.
Nice. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it does. He's cool. He's got some good stuff.
I mean, for a dwarf, that sounds cool.
Dwarf, yeah.
I'm just looking forward to playing games. I have zero events tomorrow. I probably not going to go back into that exhibit hall. Although, now for that quest.
Yeah,
game.
Let's go check out Alter Quest.
We'll go to Alter Quest. But other than that, I'm going to play games. Maybe find another big game to play tomorrow. And see where life takes us. So, anyway, anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Nope. It's been a great day, fun day. Love meeting the new people. Love playing all these games.
Still loving Origins. I think every day I've really enjoyed Origins even that
much.
We've
talked.
More.
This is coming up to... we haven't officially voted yet, but this is coming up to be our top of the list of cons to go to.
I don't know. After this Gen Con this year, I don't know. I almost want to just go Origins, because Origins and Gen Con's a lot for a year.
It is.
Just money and time and PTO. But I don't know. If I was going to have to pick just one convention that we could go to.
Right here, right now.
Origins it. Yeah. Not only can we pretty much guarantee to get hotel close by if we... pay attention to the date, but you can pretty much do whatever you get, whatever you want, participate in whatever you want to, and play a lot of games.
Yep.
Great.
Oh, yeah. Win-win.
So, anyway, okay, we'll go ahead and wrap up this episode. Again, thank you to all the people we met and had a good time with, playing games with, or talking to. We really appreciate it. And until tomorrow, which is day 4,
right?
I am Brian.
And I'm Chris.
And keep on gaming. And welcome back to the Games We Play. This is episode 7, Origins, day 4. And we're bringing you live from our hotel room. This time we are recording at 8:50, so not so late.
A little earlier in the evening.
Yeah, we're a little tired today, to say the least.
Slightly.
Oh, man. We had events this morning, and so we had to get up nice and early and just not a whole lot of sleep, and the day's just catching up with us.
Late night, early morning, long hours on the road trip up. Yeah, we're old. Or at least I'm old.
Yeah, these kids are just like, whatever.
Oh my gosh. Oh, heck no. They get to sleep. They get to sleep while we drive.
So this is going to be our last day because we decided to leave in the morning. Long drive back, and we're just really exhausted, and we have to work Monday.
We
so.
Didn't plan well with that. Next
year.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
Rookie mistake.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and just move on real quick and talk about what we did today. So like I said, we did get in early to the convention. Our first events were at 8 o'clock.
Yes, bright and early. Registered for Shadowrun's 5th edition RPG with Catalyst Lab Games. Went up to their room. A great bunch of guys up there and gals. Very hospitable and just welcoming, and got in with the group. Very friendly game master and 4 other adventurers. And we did a Shadowrun during their Kentucky Fried series. Had a lot of fun. Great time. Got some bling and got some dice out of it. Got some coins used for some counters and edging. Had a great time. Played 4 hours. Didn't get through all the adventure, but we could have used probably another hour to finish it. But we did great. So really enjoy the game. Really looking forward to 6th edition. So when that comes out here in August, I'm looking to pick that up. It's supposed to streamline a lot of the stuff. And that was one of the complaints about it, is it's too intense regarding rules and calculations, very mathy and stuff. But I enjoy it. I enjoy it. So curious to see how they change it. But yeah, so I did that for the first 4 hours while you were doing...
It was like a homebrew World War II miniature game, I guess.
Yeah, Rob.
Yeah, your brother Rob texted me and he's like, hey, we need another person, somebody to show up. So I played one of the 4 American squads against a German squad.
Go America.
Yeah, we were fighting over a factory in the middle and... it was pretty good, I guess.
I heard you played with army men.
I did. Yeah, they're like mounted on a base, and they had card numbers, and that's how they got activated. So we had a deck of cards and pulled out a deck of cards, and we had our movement and actions. And it was not bad. It was 4 hours, a little long for me, but it was overall pretty fun. I did get to go in, and I bum rushed with my flamethrower guy, and
there you go,
toasted up some Nazis. So that was fun. Threw a bunch of grenades, killed some guys. It was a good time, but we did lose. The Americans lost.
Ooh.
Just a bad die rolling, but you know, that's how those things go. Pretty common for me. But overall, pretty enjoyable. A lot better than my expectations would.
Well, good. Glad you enjoyed a miniature game then.
Probably not going to do another one for another 5 years. and then after that, we met up and walked around the exhibit hall a little bit.
Yes, we did.
Checked out a few games. Yep. We heard up from Rob about a new game called Alter Quest that's out on Kickstarter right now. By the time you hear this, I think it'll have like 2 days left.
Right.
But essentially, it's HeroQuest.
Yeah.
I mean,
It's
pretty much HeroQuest. You have a mat or a board that has all the rooms, and you have the doors, and you have the monsters, and you have the furniture. It looks just like HeroQuest. It looked like the character abilities and how that played out was a little more advanced than HeroQuest, and the artwork was much, much better and updated.
Yeah. More options to do, sounded like. And,
The only thing I didn't really like is... there wasn't it was all co-op, so it was all automated for the enemy actions. Yeah. And
players versus AI.
I hate that stuff. It just gets so fiddling. You can outplay that system because you know exactly what the enemy's going to do.
If it's not well scripted or well designed, there can be flaws in that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, if that's the way they're doing it, there's so many other games like that, and I don't know. A lot of the games are getting away from the one player playing the enemy and going more to an automated system. And I don't know. I mean, you're just now falling into the crowd like everybody else is doing. It doesn't really differentiate it whatsoever.
It's the ebbs and flows of the industry and how, you know, when Descent and those type of games came out with an overlord versus players, that was the thing. Then it got oversaturated with the market and then players, you know, complained and or this and that and voiced. And so designers went away from it. And now it's going to, like you said, the full co-op versus artificial intelligence and design, and we'll see with the industry swings back. So,
but they said there's a campaign, but it didn't really sound like it. It sounded like a bunch of one-off scenarios that they just strung together that didn't really make a whole lot of sense. Just from how the guy was talking when we were, when we were checking out the booth. I mean, okay, how much did you say it was on Kickstarter?
Oh, $109.
$109.
Plus shipping.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't really jump out to me. I was pretty excited when I heard about it, but then I checked it out. I don't know.
Kind of cool.
I might check it out later.
Sleep on it.
I'm not going to back it on Kickstart.
Yeah.
I'll probably wait until it comes out and see how it plays. What other games did we check out? Oh, yeah. We stopped and checked out Bossk.
Bossk, yes.
That's kind of a hot game coming that just came out. Kind of reminds me of Photosynthesis. I mean, the trees look exactly the same, but... beautiful artwork.
Yeah, but this has squirrels.
Yeah, there is a squirrel in the game.
Squirrels in my pants.
Yeah, there's a squirrel in the game. The idea of the game is you have the different seasons, and then every time you build a certain tree, the wind starts blowing as the seasons go, and it blows your leaves, and you're trying to get the most leaves out in the ground per... It's almost like an area control.
Right.
It's the most leaves in a certain area, and you can cover up each other's leaves, and you can also deploy a squirrel to sit on top of people's leaves, and... I don't know. It looked kind of interesting. Looked kind of simple, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a little more strategy than it looks on the surface. You know, it's one of... Sometimes you see those games, you're like, I don't know about this. When you start playing, you see there's a lot of strategy to it. Photosynthesis also did the same thing. When I first saw it, I'm like, yeah, okay. So what? You're building trees in this circular. But there's a lot more thinking and strategy because you're having to think 2, 3, 4 seasons ahead and try to... outmaneuver your opponents, and I don't know, it looked really interesting. Might be one that when it comes more full release, I might pick up or try out. But for now, it's definitely a cautious try for me.
Yeah, that same way thing. It has a game mechanic, like you said, that the wind as each player there's a little board that rotates around on the edge, and it shows the direction of how the wind blows, and that blows the leaves and how the trees are. So that I guess that's where some strategy comes in, that where you can try to plan ahead. And
there's
like
that human player that comes out and checks your trees.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, so there's some variability in it, and so yeah. We'll check it out.
Yeah, did we? Was there any other games we checked out on the floor today? I don't remember.
The main two was that Ultra Quest and Bosk. I purchased some games.
Oh, yeah. What did you buy today?
I went over to Renegade Games and was looking to pick up the RPG Kids on Bikes for one of my daughters, Grace. We're a Stranger Things fan, and she really loves that. She's an artist. Oh, my gosh. She draws great. So I painted a chalk paint one of her bedroom walls, just a whole wall. And every so often, she takes chalk and design stuff. So during the Christmas time, we hang up Christmas lights, and she hung out up in her room.
Or year round.
She still has them up in her room. But she drew all the letters, like in Stranger Things, where they had the Christmas lights and they were spelling words and stuff during that scene. So she did that with the chalk, and it looked awesome. Anyway, so she's a Stranger Things fan. And so Renegade Games had this RPG came out with Kids on Bikes, which is small town. These kids investigate some strange things, and they're on bikes. They're teenagers, early teens and kind of stuff, middle school age, just like Stranger Things. So she loves that and Stranger Things. So I thought, hey, you know what? I'll pick up Kids on Bikes. So I went over there to Renegade Games and was going to get, they have a hardback version with of the rules, colored rules, and a little expansion mini. It was like a Kickstarter pack, but they were out of them. Today's free RPG day. So they ended up giving me last year's version and this year's version of their little one-off adventures they did. So I'm going to look online. I can get the rule book from their online store. So when I get home, I'm going to look at getting that for her. So that was one of the things. Then went over to Cool Stuff, Inc. and picked up Monolith Arena, a game, a strategic tile game that I've heard a lot about. First heard about it on listening to Rolling Dice Taking Names podcast. They reviewed it, had a YouTube unboxing and a little review on it. So it kind of got me interested in that. So I checked it out, and that looks like a real cool game. Very, very, very interested in getting that on the table and playing that. And then I also picked up expansion for Detective LA Crimes. Both of those are from Portal Games. Both of them I've heard good things. I picked up Detective at a Black Friday special, and that's one that is on our list, a short list, to get on the table and start playing. So glad I get those two. And then the last game I picked up was Keyforge, the Age of Ascension, the new two-player box that came out. So you got that box the other day and picked it up, and we broke it up, and we pulled it out. Didn't have enough time before our event we were going to do to learn it. So we're going to sit down and play and get going. But that's something I'm really was on my list to check out here at Origins, and to get was Keyforge. So those are a couple of the games I picked up while we were walking around.
Yeah, yeah. After we walked around the exhibit hall, we decided to go play a game. Was looking, and Scythe popped out of the cabinet, and I have Scythe at home, and I haven't played my physical copy yet, but I played the digital version on the computer because I got it on one of the Humble bundles, you know, for super cheap. And so I've kind of played it. And you know, playing digital versus physical can be kind of tricky you kind of have the general idea of how it plays, but then you forget, okay, well, it automates some of these rules.
The mechanics behind the scenes.
It kind of shows you where you can and cannot move to. And so anyway, so it took us a little bit to set up and then relearn the game, but we got going. We did play a two-player version, which I know isn't
ideal.
Isn't exactly suggested, but it was still pretty fun.
Well, yeah, we learned the mechanics of the game, the rules, the turn order, things like that. You did some things to me that I picked up. Oh, gosh. Yeah. It helped me learn. It really did. So it was fun.
Yeah. I was a little mean with it. But, I mean, that's part of the game. Yeah. I knew which mech, you know, and you had the availability too, but you're still trying to learn everything. And I knew they get the water river walking perk first so you can cross rivers for your faction. And I knew the other mech for an extra speed so you can move your character in your mechs. And so I took advantage of that and bum rushed over. And it just happened to be you had just got across the river and you're wanting wood to use the one ability, the pay wood. and I
just loaded up on three woods.
Yeah, he carried three workers across the river and just had produced, which caught, you'd already put a lot of workers out early, which is not suggested super early.
Well, found that out now.
Because the price of it, you're losing what was it, popularity and power. And so he pops out three wood resources out there, and then I attack him, and I beat him, and so he has to...
Beat me by one.
He had to move your mech and all your workers back, and so then on my next turn, I used all the three wood that I'd just taken. It was fabulous.
Yeah, and it just derailed after that.
And then I just camped out two mechs, like, right there on the two spots you could cross the river. So you're stuck in your home for a little bit until you could get muster up...
I mustered up three of my mechs and crossed
and enough
over.
Power
and,
and cards. And the whole time I'm just running around the map with my character, picking up all the
resources I couldn't get to yet.
No, I was picking up the.
I was doing the commander.
Events.
Yeah, I was getting the events.
Yeah, my character was doing the events while I had you trapped on your island. It was a little mean, and maybe a reason why you don't want to play with two players, because you could do that.
Well, especially somebody who knows the general gist of some of the strategies, and there's things I didn't know, I should say, when we read them, I didn't understand them and remember them until I tried to do something, and Brian's like, no, you can't do that. I'm like, oh, that's right. First off, I was, I didn't know that. And he's like, I read the rule. I'm like, oh, yep, let me correct. It's, oh, yes, I didn't remember that.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about that for a little bit. And it's not the pick on you whatsoever.
No.
I teach a lot of games. Yes. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people we play with, and I teach games. And, I've been trying to introduce you to games I play, just, expand your horizon so we can talk about these games. And, I mean, vice versa.
Yes,
I'm playing games that you're playing. But one of the things that really bothers me is when I'm teaching rules and I explain this is how it does it. And I understand Scythe is a little heavy. I mean, because it's not overly complicated. It's not a really complicated game. Each of the actions on your top row and the bottom row, there's eight total if you combine them. Each one has its own little thing. It's like, okay, well, here's the move, and this is what you can do in the move. Here's the restrictions.
We did. We spent, 30, 45 minutes going over all of this.
Yeah, and some of it was me reading the rules and trying to remember, because I knew there was little fiddly rules with move and how you execute certain things and how you move your mechs and your workers and all that stuff, and producing and trading and all and command and all those things. Anywho... I mean, there's a lot of things, but each thing in its own, each action is pretty basic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty easy to understand each one on its own. But then it's just a lot of things. It's a lot of actions. It reminds me a lot of Terraforming Mars. There's a lot of things you can do in Terraforming Mars, and each little thing on its own is really basic and to understand. But then you throw it together, and you're like, and go.
Yeah, yeah.
So I understand there's a lot of stuff to remember, but it... It's funny because there are certain things I remember explaining to you, and you got me a look, and I'm like, I re-explained it, and then you asked a question, and I re-explained it until I thought you had it.
Yeah.
And then later you're like, I didn't know you could do it. I'm like, son of a nutcracker. I knew I told you how to do that.
Oh, you did. And that was me. And that's all on me. Because I'll take that blame.
No,
it's me choosing the right words.
I know.
I should have said, I knew what I meant. It wasn't your fault. It was me not remembering.
Right.
Not that I didn't know.
I forgot.
Everything was explained.
Yeah. No, I'm just giving you
a hard time.
You
didn't miss anything. Oh, no. I take it.
Yeah.
I'll see it.
But, typically it's with people with smaller games.
Yeah. That's fine.
And they say, I didn't know you could do it. I'm like, no, I told you just weren't listening or distracted
Exactly.
or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anywho, so. Yeah.
No, that's right. I remembered all the rules and can't stop and smoked you at that one.
smoked me. Okay, so
later, that's a fun game.
So later, after supper, we came back to the game hall. We had about half an hour before your son was done, so we could get back to the hotel. And I decided to pull it. Can't stop. I know I talked about this previously on a podcast episode. I don't remember which one, maybe two or three. Yep. But I really liked that game, and Chris hadn't played it yet.
Yep,
it's a good two-player
game.
Oh,
it is.
And so we went ahead and got it from the library and pulled it out and taught the game and. And you didn't smoke me.
It was a little closer than smoking, maybe.
I had two turns where I could have won it, and you had three or four turns where you could have won it. It's just how dice roll.
And I won it.
I mean, you end up winning with the two. I mean, for those who don't know, you roll four dice, and and you move up and try to capture columns based on the dice combinations you can pick, you know, certain numbers, and you have three that you lock down, and then you can keep trying to press your luck to get those numbers.
It's a dice roll and press your luck.
Yeah, and so you're one away from the two, and you were trying for it and trying for it and trying for it, and you finally got it. So
it's a good game. It's an older game.
It goes back
to like 1974.
You look back and like Hasbro and the rights?
Parker Brothers. Yeah that
Mass
tells you
market.
Something. Yeah, exactly. And that was a Sid Sackson game. Really good game. And I swear, we were both talking about this, that there's going to be a reprint of this. So
I thought, or maybe there has been. I don't know. Because the box cover that we played is the same as mine. But when you look online, it's a different box cover. So I don't know.
Yeah, so, and that's something, that's one of the things, we're going to do some research on it, because if you can get a hold of this game, or if it does come out again, highly suggest that. Really good game. You can play with kids, you can play it adults, challenging at all levels, really simple 2 to 4 player game.
And apparently there's an expansion.
Right.
We pulled the box, I'm like, what's this extra cone? What are all these little
chits for?
And it was showing on the instruction sheet, like going horizontal. I'm like, what is this? And then I realized, this is the expansion. So I might have to check that out and get that, because the game's really good on
its
own.
Base game's just fun itself. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, hopefully we'll do some research and see what we can find out, because we've talked about this a few times, and I know it's a game that we highly recommend both. So if we can find out if it's available, we'll pass that along.
Yeah. So that was Can't Stop. That was the games I played today with myself and you. Was there any games that you played that we didn't talk about?
No, I don't think so. That was basically it, just the RPG and then the couple.
I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but that World War II one was 4 hours, and your RPG was 4 hours. Yeah. And then Scythe, you know, after we ate lunch and dinner, Scythe was like three hours?
Yeah, it was good.
From setup to learning the rules to playing through the game.
Yeah, and we went slow. We really did go slow.
By the end, we were going back and forth. I bet you the last hour was 75% of the game total.
Easily, because we went through several rounds that way. And that's one of the things I like doing when I first play a meteor game like that, is sitting down and talking about it and going through and talking this and making sure, hey, you know, this is what I want to do. Am I doing it legally? Is this right? Am I following the correct path? That kind of stuff. Because there is so many things in that type of a game. So, yeah, so it took the first part really took a long time for us. But, hey, that's fine. So now the next time we play it, we will be quicker.
Well, the nice about that environment is we didn't really have necessarily any time restrictions.
No.
It's just nice.
Nice,
okay,
comfortable place.
I don't have to worry about rushing. It's not a Saturday afternoon where we only have a few hours. Who cares about rushing? Let's have some fun. The cool thing is it had a broken token storage solution in it.
Oh, yeah.
That storage solution was really cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just wooden boxes in that one. It had where the mech slid in and it
secured them.
And it secured them because there was a lip over it and then a little gap. And so that slid in. And then there was like a gate that came down and then it locked it in.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And then they like stacked on top of each other. They're really cool. And then I went over to their booth and they're selling it for $53. I was like, oh my word. That's more than the base game.
That's the organizer for the game.
And then that was the legendary one. So you need the legendary box that stores Scythe and all the expansions. And that box alone retails for $50 on its own. So you'd have to pay retail. I mean, you can get on sale, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But retail, you're talking $103 just for storage solution for the legendary. That, you know, that's all the expansions and the whole box. But still, that's crazy. It's a big game. It's heavy. And
lots of stuff.
I really want to get my hands on the expansions and play it because the base game was really good. I hear one of the expansions adds a campaign mode. That sounds really cool.
Fenris, yeah.
Yeah, really cool. But I really like the variable faction abilities. You know, you have special abilities. Those are pretty
neat.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I like the player board versus the faction, how it randomizes what's on top and bottom. That was really cool. Really like the game. Highly suggest Scythe. And we're probably a little late to the party, but it's really good.
That's my life story.
Okay, so any people of notoriety that you met today?
No, not really. Honestly, like I said, I hung out with Catalyst Games Labs group, a lot of their demo guys, and there was one gal. She was walking around. She was the timer to tell us when 2 hours are left, 1 hour left. But very nice, friendly people there. Oh my gosh, there's the attendance today was higher in numbers. Of course, it being a weekend,
it definitely Saturday. Was the busiest.
Yeah, it was the busiest day so far.
And you got the typical, and we get this at Gen Con on the first Friday and Saturday, yeah. where you have the people that just have that badge for that day or the weekend badge. And they're going through the exhibit hall and just stopping right in the middle of the aisle and looking around. Yeah. Oh, funny story. Oh, funny story. Yes. So we're walking through the game room. Okay, so we're walking through the game room. And, you know, people bring their kids. It's fine, whatever. But this is a first.
Yes, never seen this before.
So somebody brought their
pack and play crib.
And it was set up next to the game table, and there was an infant in there just playing around while the parents were just playing games at the table. First I had ever seen that at a gaming convention.
This wasn't a small pack and play.
No, it was like
it was a
full one that you would have at home.
Yeah, 3 feet, 4 feet by 4 feet one that you put in your living room. It was right out there in the hallway, walkway.
Right next to the table.
Next to the table.
The baby was just in there playing with the
just
toys.
Playing in the pack and play. So never seen that before.
That was a first. Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, good for them.
Good for them. Exactly. I was
the
just
baby
say that.
Looked really fun. Was having fun and
was
content.
Not crying. Was content and enjoying games, picking up osmosis, getting that love of games flowing through.
Yeah, and then I saw
Start
somebody.
Early.
And then I saw somebody else walking around with the backpack. You know, with the leashes. Those just crack me up.
Yeah.
There's this little girl and she was walking around just and everything. She was like going off and wanting to touch up. I was watching her for a little bit. I was waiting for you and she's like, "Ooh, there's a doorstop," and tried to go doorstop. And then there's like a piece of paper on the ground by the trash and she was just all over the place. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like a little dog with a leash. But anyway, that was a funny story with the pack and play and the gaming.
Never
room.
Seen that before. A first here at Origins.
Yeah. You think you saw that at Gen Con when you have 10 times the. But definitely a lot of busier today. Not as busy still as Gen Con.
Oh my gosh,
it was still manageable. It still was not a big deal. But
yeah.
It did. I just laughed because you got your typical people in the exhibit hall just stopping in the middle and talking in the middle of the aisles or the crossways and people trying to get around. It was really annoying. But
you'll
get that.
Yeah, you get. Hey, I haven't heard attendance records for Origins yet.
I don't know if they
Gen
release
Con
those,
really
how that
releases
works.
Those.
Oh,
they publicize that. How the. You know, they want to be the largest.
Always just want to pack themselves in the back or something.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so let's do love and hate, because I'm sure this might come up on one of our lists. So let's go ahead and move on to love and hate. Let's go ahead and just for funsies start with hate.
Hate. Wow.
Chris, you want to start?
Oh, wow. So we went to a restaurant to eat, Fabian's, and neat little small pizza joint just north of the convention center. Really good food. Just walked in there. This was after the parade that was going on today. So it was just calming down.
And it was raining.
Yes, it was raining. And we walked in there. And I think we got the server after he was just tired. He was smoked from a long day. So we ordered two pizzas and ordered some beverages and sat there and was waiting and waiting. And they brought the stuff and brought our drinks and we drank them and they're empty and we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. And
we were literally the only person at these places.
There was,
it was kind of a hole in the wall type of place. We have one in Des Moines that's like this. It was a pizza joint. And it kind of reminded me a lot of it. There's a bar right when you come in.
Yep.
And then there's probably like... A dozen tables, but we were literally the only three customers in the whole place.
There was two younger ladies that came in later and sat at the bar and was talking with the bartender, but there was really three servers and a bartender and then us three. So there was more service staff than patrons in there.
There really was.
And, oh, my gosh, it got to a point where I had to walk up to the bartender and ask if we can get our drinks refilled. And
the bartender was probably the nicest person
He was.
There.
He was, yeah, but he was contending at the bar and the two ladies up there.
Well,
he
I
didn't want to leave that.
But
so then that and had to do that a couple times. And then when they dropped off our pizzas, we ordered two larges and they brought one large and one small. And then the waiter was like, "Oh no, you said this." We're like,
"No, I know, I said a thin, a large thin pepperoni."
Yeah, exactly.
Because the idea is that you know one of your sons was doing an event, and we were going to take the other half
back
on and go back there, and so we could eat. And that's not what he didn't really apologize.
He didn't.
Once.
No, he didn't. And he was like, he goes, well, you can order another small one. I said, okay, I'll order another small one. Then he came back like 5 minutes later and said, well, there was a large order that came in.
He's like, a 15 pizzas and our whole oven is full.
And he goes, well, it's going to be a long time until we get to your pizza. And we're like, oh. So anyway.
Oh, and then he's like, I can give you a max menu. And I guess it was a restaurant next door or something. It was kind of weird.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It was just an odd situation. And this guy was just like, you could tell he was tired and didn't want to be there. So I've worked in the customer service industry and things like that. So, and I always like to tip and like to do that and like to be hospitable and gracious customer, but that's rough.
Yeah, he didn't seem to care.
No, he just seemed to didn't care. So
That's your hate.
Yeah.
Bad
experience. Yeah. Bad customer service. Bad experience.
Food was pretty good, though.
Food was very good.
Didn't have wings. We ordered wings, and they said they ran out, even though the table that was next to us that was just finishing up
as we walked in.
So I don't know how that worked.
Well, they got the last set.
Apparently. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Again, it was a rough day for him.
Yeah. My hate, long drives. I'm not looking forward to driving back tomorrow. Now, you know, driving long ways to something is a little more fun because you're all amped up and excited, and tomorrow it's going to be like, we're really tired, just want to get home. So, not looking forward to the long drive tomorrow. That's my hate. It is what it is.
Yeah, and that's why we decided to cut it a little early instead of doing going until 3 p.m. and then driving.
Yeah,
and
if we back left, to Iowa, we started doing some calculations. Even with the time change of getting an hour, we weren't going to even be able to get into town by 2 a.m.
Yeah,
I had to work. I have to be at work at 6:30.
Yeah,
that would be rough.
Yeah,
we're going to leave tomorrow morning 8-ish and should be rolling into Des Moines area by 7:30 or so with the time change.
Hopefully.
Should be great.
Should be.
Okay, love. Let's go ahead and go to a positive side of things. So my love this week is going to be Scythe.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that. I played it again, but like I said before, and it's just kind of reignited that love for it. Sometimes you pull out one of those games that you haven't played in a while, and you're like, yeah, this is really good. There's a reason why I own this still.
Yeah.
Really like Scythe. Gonna try to play this as much as possible.
I second that.
I want to get a five-player game. I know, I think the recommended was four.
Recommends four, they said. Best with four, yeah.
I would like to get five.
Yeah.
You can try that. That'd be crazy fun.
I'm sure we can find, you know, three other guys.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's a good game. Yep. We can get in under 2 hours or so, probably. So
depends who we're playing with us.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and that's my love.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. I second that one. When you said that, I was like, oh yeah, me too. But besides Scythe, I really love this Shadowrun, this RPG. Just having fun with it. I love the fantasy sci-fi. It's kind of a cyberpunk setting, and even though the game is very mathy and knowledgeable and very intricate and things, I like that. I actually get into that. It's not a game for newbie RPG players and things to get into, but I played enough of different ones over the years that I just like this. And I'm falling in love with this. Isaac played it yesterday and did the Build a Runner and First Taste series with me the other night and just loves it. So I'm looking forward to playing this, the boys, and you know, getting it around and seeing what we can do. I think we're going to try to sign up for some adventures at Gen Con. But yeah, that's a love for me. Besides Scythe, is Shadowrun.
This is going to be a very manic episode when I edit it. Woo-hoo! From last night to today. Holy cow. Hopefully it hasn't been too boring, but I'm sure you can hear in our voices the energy from last night to today. Holy cow.
A lot of
fun.
Oh, my gosh. A lot of fun.
I've had a blast this Origins. Really enjoyed coming. I don't regret coming to Origins. Nope. I highly, highly recommend it. In fact, we're talking, and we'll see how this ends up going down.
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk to our friend Corey, because I know he really likes going to Gen Con, because that's his thing that he's been doing.
He hasn't experienced Origins yet.
But Chris and I were talking in the car today that, one, Origins and Gen Con is a little crazy for us. I mean, we're talking a month, like 5-6 weeks between and work and
with our work
kids
schedules.
Things just get a little crazy that what we like about Gen Con that we don't get, you know, that environment, the new stuff, playing games, meeting people, doing events that we don't get to do at home. That newness is kind of worn off because we just experienced Origins. I don't think I'm going to get as amped up in 5 weeks for Gen Con. So we'll see here in five weeks. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
But we'll see how Gen Con goes. But I don't know. We were talking that we might drop Gen Con from our con list next year and just do strictly Origins. Take an extra day off so that way we can experience Sunday and then guarantee getting a hotel. We'll actually follow the schedule.
That's something that's really one of the deciding factors in dropping Gen Con. Because,
man, Gen Con is just it's literally a lottery.
Yeah.
There's no guarantees. Like, none of in the 4 years I've been doing it, my time slot has been 5 or 6 o'clock every year.
Yeah.
And there's no way there's a hotel. Yep. Origins, there was a hotel availability for 3 or 4 months. It's our fault that we didn't get in.
We missed it.
But next year, if we're following the schedule and don't decide 3 months after the fact, we'll get a hotel room, and that adds a lot to going there. If we can guarantee a hotel room where
within a block, walking,
if somebody has an early morning event or a late night event, we can go back to the hotel and chillax and go to bed early if we need to, or do whatever we want to do, or play some games at the hotel or whatever. I think today where my energy levels, and I was just like, that goes away.
Yep.
If we have a hotel room attached, I can sleep in, or I can go back and take a nap, or whatever I want to do in between.
Those young whippersnappers can get up and go to their 8 p.m. RPG schedules and 8 p.m. or 8 a.m. Pokemons.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's just not for me. Like, I'm pretty much going to pack up all this equipment after we're done. I'm going to go to sleep.
Yeah, we're going to box up and get everything ready as much as tonight, and I'm hitting the bed.
So something to think about. I'd be curious to see what other people think. I think...
We'll take a vote.
I think a lot of people feel the same way.
Reach out to us. Email us.
I know talking to a lot of people at Origins that we've met, they're like, I just don't want to go to Gen Con. Like, that too many people. And I think the people that go to Gen Con's like, I've never been to Origins.
Yeah.
I think if more people from Gen Con to Origins, although maybe I shouldn't be saying this, I don't want to ruin Origins. It's like it's like a nice held secret that it's not as
I think it might be out there already. But maybe. Hey, if you have a favorite con that you've been to, Gen Con or Origin, and you say, hey, you know, got this experience that is right up there and that surpasses these or equals these, let us know. Reach out to us. Send us an email and post that. And we'll take a little survey and maybe read that and share some suggestions. And if you have a con, we'll share that.
Yeah, please do. Okay, well, that's going to end it today. Let's go ahead and end there. And anything else you'd like to add before we take off?
Booyah. No, a lot of fun. Love this. Been a great week.
Yes. Thank you for all the people, again, that we've met, that we played games with. Really appreciate the support. Really appreciate your time and had a lot of fun. Thank you to Origins. I think it was a pretty well managed event.
Oh, my gosh. As how large it is, yes. They did a great job.
Yep. Really enjoyed it. And... again, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Next week, we will get back on normal episodes, try to go back to our new segments. I think we're going to try to mix up the segments a little bit more, keep trying to find
new
things.
Fresh ideas.
Yeah. We're going to keep doing that.
What's good.
Yeah, so I guess until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Chris.
And keep on gaming. Join the conversation and feel free to give us your feedback. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at GamesWePlayPod. And that's gamesweplaypod@gmail.com.